North Carolina. There were multiple Republican senators that just made a deal. They created a bill and everything was baked in before they even let the public know that was in the bill. Green said in a clip, "This is the biggest Republican sellout. These people in the Senate, these Republicans, they're everything wrong with the Republican Party," she added. Newsweek has reached out to press representatives for Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis for comment. Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump has issued similar criticism and warnings by his social media site, Truth Social. Mitch McConnell's push for Republican senators to vote for gun control will be the final straw, Donald Trump wrote on Thursday before the bill's passage. He added that the bill was the first step in taking away your guns. "Republican senators should not vote for this career-ending bill," Trump wrote. In a previous Wednesday post, Donald Trump wrote, "The deal on gun control currently being structured and pushed in the Senate by radical left Democrats with the help of Mitch McConnell, Rhino Senator John Cornyn of Texas and others will go down in history as the first step in the movement to take your guns away. Republicans, be careful what you wish for." The bipartisan bill will toughen background checks for gun purchasers under the age of 21, create grants to fund mental health programs, and close the boyfriend loophole to prevent people convicted of domestic abuse from owning firearms. It would also provide funds to states for crisis intervention programs, which include red flag laws in some states. Opinion polls have shown substantial bipartisan support for the legislation. An opinion survey conducted by Data for Progress from 15th of June to 21st of June showed that 67% of likely voters said they strongly or somewhat support the bipartisan legislation on gun control. 84% of Democrats, 65% of Independents, and 52% of Republicans held that opinion. Recent Fox News polling also showed substantial majority support among Americans for several proposed gun restrictions. In Senate floor remarks on Thursday, 23rd of June, Mitch McConnell said that the negotiators for the bipartisan bill found a sweet spot and that it will make our country safer without making it any less free. "The legislation before us would make our communities and schools safer without laying one finger on the Second Amendment for law-abiding citizens. Its key provisions are hugely popular with the American people," the top Senate Republican said. Senator John Cornyn held the passage of the bill he helped to negotiate. "We proved that we can when sufficiently inspired by the people in the gallery and others when they say do something, to come together and find common ground that will help keep our communities safer, protect our children and save lives," the Texas Republican said in a statement. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina also welcomed the legislation's success in the Senate. He said, "I'm proud of my work to advance common-sense bipartisan legislation that improves mental health care, strengthens school safety, and saves lives while protecting the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding North Carolinians," Tom Tillis said in a statement.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Muhsin Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sayyid Naqvi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, today's topic, selected by Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, is a really interesting question. Where is heaven or the heaven? What to do in order to reach to a level to see your Jannah in this world? I mean, this must be a very difficult task, isn't it?
You see that life or our existence, I mean, the human beings' existence and lives, it is something like graded. It has different levels.
Yes.
You know, sometimes if we are in the lowest level of life in this material and physical life, and we are not able to understand or to realize and perceive anything immaterial,
yes,
or transcendent. So, of course, in that phase of life or let's say level of life, if you have less pain, so that life is a kind of heavenly life, because you are enjoying your life. And so these kind of people, if they are sure, if they are certain about their own selves that we are living a true life,
mm-hmm,
and inshallah we'll get, for example, Jannah and the hereafter life,
inshallah,
so our life is also a true life that we're moving just towards the Jannah. So this kind of pleasure, this kind of enjoyment that they have,
mm-hmm,
it makes their lives like a heavenly life. So of course, if you purify yourself,
yes,
if you perfect your soul,
yes,
and of course then you become able to see your position, your status,
yes,
in this world and unseen things.
Okay.
So yeah, that is
achievable. Then at that time you will not change it with anything,
yeah,
in this materialistic world, because you see the fruits
of your
efforts in this,
yeah,
world.
That's not only yourself, maybe the others also, you can
the
see
other
that
people,
you have
that's
been
right,
what status they are.
Okay, and this has been of course, usually it is done through the akhlaq teachings that we have, an akhlaqi, we can't say, circles and the courses that we had all during, we can't say, the history of Islam. And nowadays we could see that different ulama and the scholars all across the world, and especially in the Shiite one, when you get to this, we can't say, irfani or spiritual mystical aspect, which is abide by, we can't say, the Sharia,
yeah,
the Shari'iyat, you know. This is what Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai said, that, you know, the main type of spirituality, spiritual perfection, is in the framework of Shari'iyat,
yeah,
and religious, we can't say, ruling. It's not out of that. So on that time, as you said, the concept of Jannah is not something which must be reachable, say, in the future. But now you could, yes, see it in your life.
For example, like if I can just give an example of chapter 2 of Quran,
mm-hmm,
which is chapter Baqarah,
yes,
verse number 174.
Okay.
It's about the hellfire, for example. Like it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ certainly, definitely, those who used to hide what we have revealed, what was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the book, those who used to hide this. وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِينًا And used to buy it. For example, they used to interpret it wrongly. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِم إِلَّا النَّارِ You know, whatever they're eating, it is not except the hellfire.
Hellfire, that's right.
You know, they're eating sandwich maybe, pizza.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
Okay.
But all these things are the hellfire. Even about the riba.
Yes.
The one who's eating the riba, the income, the source of income, if he has it through riba.
Yes.
This is hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, you know, is basically taking someone's right,
yes,
overruling someone's right, okay, it is the hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when we look at the examples which are given in the in yes, the Holy Quran,
the metaphors,
it says about this word that yes, your own actions are the hellfire.
Hellfire.
So right, we should not see, yes, because of this material world, because the soul is been attached to this material body,
yes,
we cannot feel it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the soul itself is feeling.
Yes.
Why? The example is, the clear example, if someone wants to test it,
mm-hmm,
is that, you know, whenever we perform a sin, someone performs a sin, yes, or bad deeds, even if it's a habit for it,
mm-hmm,
he never have a peace inside.
Yes.
There are many people, most of the people who have a lot of money, they're yes, rich, they do not have peace in their life.
The subconscious pain, you know, yeah, that's right.
On the other hand, okay, we see a person who never had anything,
mm-hmm,
he may be a beggar,
mm-hmm,
but he is sleeping with the peace.
Yes.
Where is this peace coming from? This is something which is attached to his soul.
That's right.
So this is for those who are following the material life, who never experienced the, you know, things outside this world, who couldn't, like, you know, there's a question like, how can I purify? How do I know, like, whether I'm purifying myself or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I'm reaching to the level. The one of the reasons is, you need to see whether you have a peace or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fear of death or not.
That's
you
right,
know, there are many people who help others who are, for example, giving charity. They never say bad things. They're best in ethics. And, you know, in their ethics, they're good in their, like, religious rituals. And they have a peace.
That's right.
Now, this peace tells us that his soul is in peace. His soul is in paradise. Yes. So these things can be experienced. And the things that we are performing in this world, all of them are, you know, either the things
okay,
that are related to the hellfire or okay, there's something from the paradise. On the other hand, there is a story
yes,
that once a prophet was talking about the paradise, explaining yes, people that yes, how your deeds becomes the part of paradise. So he said, whenever you say subhanallah or mm-hmm, you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yes,
Allah builds or makes a tree in the paradise for you, on your name. And one of the companions, he stood up and he said, like, this way I have many gardens mm-hmm, in the paradise. And Prophet said that, just remember that, be careful that you do not burn it
okay,
with your other deeds.
That's right.
You know, we perform something.
Okay.
Whenever we perform a good deed,
yes,
there is something which is building in the heaven, in our heaven,
yes,
we can say, in our paradise. But on the other hand, when we perform a bad deed, obviously, it is. We are burning our own actions.
But it's, sometimes this visualization of the Jannah for some of the Muslims especially gets, we can say, to the extreme, to an extent that all the things are coming in the future and not this world. I mean, I do this and that in order to reach paradise or the heaven or the Jannah in the future. So maybe I forget, for example, the rights of the people, the rights of the neighbors around, the rights of these, the rights of the animals, environment, this and that. I do want to say the visualization of the Jannah becomes only something which is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. And this, I think, has been also criticized.
Yes, by some of the mystics. Obviously, it is definitely, no, it's in the Islamic text, it's been criticized.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, people think of religion of thawab only, uh-huh, rewards.
Okay.
You know, they perform, our religion generally, people, the Muslim Ummah, for example, you know, generally what they ask from the scholars, they say, like, if I, for example, give an iftar in the month of Ramadan, uh-huh, how much thawab will I have, uh-huh, reward? You know, all our actions are based on the rewards.
Yes.
Whereas reward is something to encourage us.
Or the peace that given you, yeah, spiritually speaking.
The rewards, okay, are the means, uh-huh, of, you know, encouraging people, yes, to do. For example, for a kid, if you want to him have a good ethic, you promise him to be good and then you will give him a toy, for example.
For example, okay.
If he does everything for the toys, you will see whenever there is a toy, he's a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there is a promise of toy. But whenever you don't give him a promise of toy, then you see he's becoming a bad boy.
Yeah.
So basically, okay, he had the wrong perception of this toy.
That's right.
The toy was something to encourage him, to show him that, look, the main theme, the main philosophy is, okay, to be good.
That's right.
Same is the case with the Muslim Ummah, unfortunately.
Okay. Yes.
Most of us, we do or we perform things because of thawab or the reward.
That's right.
Not the, okay, actual concept and the philosophy of the ibadah or the worship.
Yes. And Sheikh Rouhani, sometimes some of the urafa say that the Jannah is not the final destination of a faithful person. Because when you enter a Jannah, it is not a place of permanence only to relax and enjoy the beautiful life. But understanding the very presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final destination. So on that time, reaching Jannah might be a very primary station in order to reach that. As Ayatollah Hassan Zadam Ali used to say, if we can say, to be in the end Allah, in the presence of Allah, to be, you have to be Abdullah, to have to be the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think this is a better understanding out of the concept of Jannah, rather than limiting it to a specific time or place or with this, we can say, specifications. Is it beautiful? Is it green? This and that, you know, streaming rivers or something like that, isn't it?
Of course, one point that I should mention here is that, you know, the difference between a prophet and a scientist, mm-hmm, or a philosopher,
yeah,
is this, that the prophet should address the ordinary people, the public. Among the public, we have different people with different levels of knowledge, understanding, perception, everything. So then the prophet should talk to these different grades of the people, different levels of the people, categories of the people. But the philosopher, for example, just address the very circle, where, let's say, in a scholarly circle, a short number of people, for, yes, example. And also the scientists and the professors. So that's why in the Holy Quran, sometimes that visualization that you mentioned is made. This is for those lower kind of level of the people. They have a kind of lower sort of yes, understanding of everything. But if you go deep and if you perfect yourself, you will have a better understanding, a deepest understanding of the teachings of the Quran. As it is made by the urafa, by the mystics, by the philosophers, by the interpreters and ulama al muhaddisin and mufassirin. So, of course, taqarrub ila Allah, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the final destination. Yes. It is the thing that we should mention it in our intentions. Whenever we do, for example, yes, some Islamic rituals, we have to have intention.
Yes.
So that intention is taqarrub ila Allah.
Yes.
So, but this taqarrub ila Allah is not something limited, because our soul, our spirit is immaterial. When it is, that's immaterial, right, it is not limited.
Okay.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beauty,
yes,
and in existence is not limited. So when we get close to an unlimited source of pleasures, yes, unlimited source of mm-hmm, infinite source of, let's say, life, pleasure, knowledge, health, whatever beautiful things.
Yes.
So then there is a kind of endless pleasures.
Mm, that's right.
That you go.
Okay.
And that's why we cannot say that it is something that have an stop. No, there's, that's no, right, stop for that. And you will enjoy a kind of infinite sort of life full, yes, of pleasures. So this is the reward, the final reward.
And for this goal, we have to put away the superficial look,
yeah,
and take a look at the batn, or the very inner depth of the religion. I mean, your salat, your psalm, you know, and, yeah, your zakat.
The philosophy of,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, philosophy reasons of that. I really invite our dear listeners to refer to a very beautiful book by the late Allama Tabatabai called Risalatul Velaya, or Al-Velaya Risala. Mm-hmm. This is really an outstanding book, according to Ayatollah Jawadi Omoli. Maybe this is the best compilation of the late Allama Tabatabai, in which he is talking about the surface level and the inner deep level of the religion, and, or your, we can say, about that, your rituals and your religious rulings, in that with a mystical look and a spiritual look from the tongue of an Allama like Allama Tabataba. May Allah bless his soul. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi.
You're welcome.
And Shaykh Rouhani for your presence in the program, Viewpoints, talking about the concept of Jannah according to Islamic theology and ideology. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and today we present you a thought-provoking saying from Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace upon him, the 9th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He who listens to the one who calls is actually serving him. If the caller was God's representative, he is then serving God. If the caller was the Satan's representative, he is then serving the Satan.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species, and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtanaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems, but think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset. Just tagged the giant, 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
June 21st marks the International Day of Yoga. On this day, people, especially Hindus around the world, gather in open spaces to perform this ancient physical exercise, raising awareness of its benefits on the human body and mind. Yoga is believed to have originated in India thousands of years ago and is mentioned in ancient Hindu mythological books. The word yoga derives from Sanskrit and means to join or unite, symbolizing the union of body and consciousness. In India, the day is celebrated with a different theme each year, with this year's theme being Yoga for Humanity. Mass yoga events took place around India, especially in and around iconic sites such as the Taj Mahal. Other countries, such as Vietnam and Thailand, also celebrated Yoga Day with hundreds performing it in open spaces. Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. one of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most.
People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the Feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriad. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue upon my eyes, with a thankful heart, today is another brand new start. I feel so positive, just wanna do my best to show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
My heart when I'm
loving, 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 loving you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, Monday, is the 27th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter room, verse 21 from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahmah inna fi dhalika laayatin liqaumin yatafakkarun.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A spouse must be the cause of peace, not the cause of agitation and anxiety. The aim of marriage, dear friend, is not often only satisfying the instinct, but the aim of mostly reaching to spiritual tranquility. Verily, the existence of spouses, which this special quality, which is the cause of tranquility of their lives, is counted one of the great bounties of Allah, because these two genders are complementary of each other, and each generally causes the mirth, fruitfulness, and over and development of the other, so that every one of them is imperfect without the other.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbil Alameen, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim. رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.
What happened in delaying in marriage in the view of Islam? If the sexual pressures and strains are not properly channeled through legal and correct ways, they bring into existence an abundant number of nervous and spiritual ailments and diseases which damage those systems greatly. These pressures, along with solitude, loneliness, and homelessness, and on the other hand, lack of a spouse and the pressure of instinct and spiritual agony and weakness of faith, may God forbid, drag one towards deviation and going astray. And thereby the difficulties multiplies just as these deviations incur heavy damage and shock to human life and the nerves. Marriage with a suitable spouse is the best and most effective method of remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the defects or the unfavorable consequences of late marriage or getting married quite late in life. Another unfavorable effect of getting married is that chastity isn't going to be valued in community, in human communities. Imagine that in certain communities, some people may say that, for example, our son or our daughter is still a child, so it isn't the time for him or her to get married. In this way, we find that such a kind of delaying in marriage contributes to, adds fuel to the fire of sexual dissidence. And we find that in this connection, those people who don't get married at the right time, later on they would receive many other problems, both in themselves and in the community. And when the number of single people increase in any community, we find that all sorts of, illegal affairs and illegal relations are created within any community. Likewise, it must be indicated that in any community, those people who are married to each other, they must be really married to each other. Because we notice that, for example, a man and woman are legally married to one another, but for example, the man lives in another city and the woman is somewhere else, and they seldom meet each other, for example, or they meet each other, for example, once a month, or for example, twice a month. This isn't enough. This is another aspect, and this is another reason for delinquencies and for going astray.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Benefits of marriage in its time in Islam. Having both the physical and spiritual chastity is one of the benefits. Let's look at it. Chastity considered as one of the most important thing in Islam. A good Muslim should be able to guard their chastity until they get married. By marrying early, a Muslim is guarding his chastity well. Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran chapter 23 verses 5 to 6 said, "And they who guard their private parts, except from their wives or those their right hands possess, for indeed they will not be blamed." From the list of benefits of marrying in its suitable time is living a blessing life. Imagine a couple who are married in the name of Allah will be guaranteed his blessing throughout their lives. In chapter 24 of the Holy Quran, verse 32, Allah says, "And marry those among you who are single, that is a man who has no wife and a woman who has no husband, and also marry the pious of your male and female servants. If they be poor, Allah will enrich them out of his bounty, and Allah is all sufficient for his creatures' needs, all knowing about the stage of the people." Chapter An-Nur, that is Chapter 24 of the Holy Quran, verse 32.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know. You've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along.
You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now we're going to look at an important time. When must we marry? Laws can be formulated for the pertinent matters such as not eating rotten, prohibited, and illegal food, and never drinking contaminated water. Instead, men should eat licit, lawful, and healthy food and must not eat during fasting. But the law cannot be set for the actual and basic needs of hunger, thirst, eating, and drinking. The need for a spouse and raising a family is a natural and instinctive need, which Allah has, through His wisdom, placed in the human being. It is awakened at its particular time and season and makes its demand. If it is answered on time and properly, and its requirement is fulfilled, it traverses its natural courses and reaches the summit of maturity and completion and makes man reach that point. If it is delayed or answered in an incorrect and unnatural mood, it deviates from its natural course, revolt and rebels, and not only become corrupt itself, but also corrupts the man.
One of the important effects of marriage is that it guards your religion, it protects your faith. One hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says, "Ma min shabbin tazawwaja fi hadathati sunnah." Whenever a youth, a young man or woman, marries at a young age, when they're still youthful, at a young age, إِلَّا عَجَّ شَيْطَانُ, their devil, they know the devil who whispers to us to misguide us, will yell and scream and shout. What will he say? يَا وَيْلَهُ يَا وَيْلَهُ, woe unto him. لَقَدْ عَصَمَنِي مِنْ ثُلُثَي دِينَ, he has now blocked me access to 2/3 of his faith. Simply by getting married, you are guarding your faith, guarding your chastity. And this is a great benefit. Why do you want to miss out on this benefit? When you examine marriage, it has so many benefits. It has psychological benefits. It even contributes to your well-being, to your physical health, to your mental health.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about marriage. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.